Access to affordable credit helps me pay my employees, but I don't really need it.
Inflation is killing me. But who cares?
Big retailers are making record profits.
That's why we support the Durbin Marshall credit card bill.
See? Banks and credit unions help small businesses make payroll.
This bill would cut the vital resources they need.
While increasing megastore profits. They deserve it, don't they?
Tell Congress, stop the Durbin Marshall money grab for corporate megastores.
Paid for by the Electronic Payments Coalition.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Friday, March 27th. I'm Belle Lin for The Wall Street Journal. On today's show, we're taking a look at how AI is changing the way we write. Up first, have you ever used AI to help draft a complaint against a business? We're taking a look at new research that finds if you do, you could get a more favorable outcome. We break down why this is happening. Then, for journalists, using AI doesn't always come naturally. Some are afraid of the tech, others are cautiously dipping a toe in. But for one reporter and editor at Fortune, it's full steam ahead. We'll discuss how he's charting his own AI-driven path in journalism. But first, if you filed a complaint to the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau in the last few years, there's a chance that you used AI to help you do it. And you're not alone. We spoke with Mingyu Shin, an assistant professor of marketing at the City University of Hong Kong, about the prevalence of using AI to help write customer complaints, and why, so far, using AI might lead to a better outcome for consumers. So can you start off by telling us about the analysis of customer complaints that you did?
We actually used the CFPB, Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, data to understand two questions. The first one is adoption of ChatGPT, and the other is the efficacy of using ChatGPT. So we get the data from CFPB, consumer complaint data, and using the detection program, we find that the likely AI complaints started to increase dramatically after the release of ChatGPT in November 2022. That's the first thing. And the second thing is efficacy. So how the firms actually respond differently across different types of complaint. And then we actually do some causal analysis to figure out how firms actually respond differently. And we find that roughly 7 percentage point increase if consumer actually use ChatGPT.
And based on your research, why do you think that these AI-assisted customer complaints are more likely to get a favorable response from these financial firms?
So there could be many other reasons, but what we want to focus on here is the presentation effect, so to speak. So even though we say the same thing, we can say it differently, right? So what to say matters. However, in this paper, we are arguing that the how to say can be dramatically improved through ChatGPT, and that's one of the reasons why firms actually respond favorably to consumers.
And how common is it to use AI to write or edit these customer complaints?
Our analysis ended around early 2024, and when we actually did the analysis, 1 out of 10 complaints were written or edited by ChatGPT.
And what do your findings mean for companies? What do you think the takeaway is for the institutions that respond to customer complaints?
So our findings suggest that some previously marginalized or previously underserved consumers actually use ChatGPT more, like people suffering from language barrier. So it is a good time for firms to listen to previously underserved customer segment. Another part about the managerial implication that I want to emphasize is now is a good time for firms to figure out how to deal with those AI-generated complaints.
That was Mingyu Shin, an assistant professor of marketing at the City University of Hong Kong. Have you used AI to draft up a complaint? If you're a listener on Spotify, leave us a comment with your answer. Coming up, as readers or listeners, you might balk at the idea of journalists using AI to help with our work. But one reporter and editor at Fortune is charging ahead. That's after the break.
Nearly home. Isn't home where we all want to be? Reba here for Realtor.com, the pros' number one most trusted app. A dream home isn't a dream home if it comes with a nightmare commute. That's why Realtor.com has Real Commute, so you can search by drive time. Download the Realtor.com app today, because you're nearly home. Make it real with Realtor.com.
Pros number one most trusted app based on August 2025 proprietary survey.
It's generally considered taboo to use AI in professional writing. For many journalists, it's considered cheating and detracts from the sanctity of the craft. But there's no denying that AI will be part of most white-collar work in the future, and that the change is happening fast. WSJ reporter Isabella Simonetti joins us now to discuss one reporter and editor at Fortune who's breaking the mold by using AI for everything. So Isabella, Fortune's Nick Lichtenberg, who you spoke with your story, is clearly a very different kind of journalist. Why does he say that he uses AI so heavily in his research and in his writing?
So Fortune has taken a really bold approach to the challenge that AI is presenting to newsrooms around the world. Even here at The Journal and at The New York Times, search traffic is impacted by AI because people can go to ChatGPT or Claude or Gemini and ask what's going on in the world or what's going on in Iran without having to click on news headlines from Google. So Fortune is taking a really bold approach to this and saying, how can we use AI to sort of fight back? And Nick is one example. So he prompts AI to help him write commodity news stories and do his job more quickly. And then he'll edit the stories, and it also frees up time for him to do other kinds of reporting and longer feature stories.
What are some other benefits that maybe we're missing out on if we're not using AI in our work?
What's actually interesting is AI isn't always the worst writer. He goes in and he'll edit and add in his own writing and voice, but sometimes it can point out things that you might not have thought of or pull in research depending on what tool you're using. Obviously, these all need to be verified. And a lot of people will look at this and say, this isn't journalism. But for him, it's a way to do a lot more, a lot faster.
As you alluded to, some folks would say what you're doing isn't journalism. And as we know from AI's use in industry, in businesses, there's some drawbacks. AI can make mistakes. What are some of the risks that Nick says he's running into or that you encountered as you were talking to folks for your story?
There are two major risks. AI hallucinates and will make things up or say things that aren't true. And that can be career-ending for a journalist or really expensive for a publication because it can lead to litigation or liability and even more importantly, loss of reader trust. So that's one risk. And then the other risk I would say is there is a lot of fear and discomfort around AI writing. A lot of people get into journalism and want to be reporters because they have their own voice and want to bring their own take on things. And if ChatGPT or Gemini or Claude can write something, why would we employ a reporter? That's a question that will be on a lot of people's minds after reading this story. But Nick would argue that he is there as a second layer to vet the story, to edit it, and a lot of the story ends up being his own in the end.
Why do you think more journalists aren't doing what Nick is doing with AI?
A lot of newsrooms approach journalism differently than this one experiment that Fortune is undergoing. There are people who are assigned to cover companies like Disney or Microsoft or Morgan Stanley, and their job is to get inside and do sourcing and get in the boardroom. And what Nick is doing is a little different. It's more commentary pieces and second-day analysis and some original reporting, but a lot of it can be assisted with AI more easily.
Where do you see this all going, Isabella? Are AI-written stories a trend at this moment, or is it a sign of something much bigger for the media industry?
I think it's a sign of something much bigger for the media industry. AI is upending every profession, and we can't understand exactly how that will look based on how the technology is going to develop, but we know that it's developing very quickly. It's sort of like the beginning of the iPhone era, but it's even bigger than that because it impacts literally every industry, and media is just one of them.
Has your view of using AI in your work changed since reporting this story?
A little bit. I would say I'm hesitant to have AI write stories, and I use AI as a research tool, but I am a very cautious fact checker. So I always check everything on my own and I never have it write anything for me. But seeing how Nick does his job, I think, has made me a little less judgmental and a little more bullish on how we need to experiment with AI and be bold before it changes our industry in ways that we can't even understand.
That was WSJ reporter Isabella Simonetti. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. If you're a listener on Spotify, be sure to leave us a comment. Today's show was produced by Julie Chang. Jessica Fenton and Michael Lavelle wrote our theme music. Our supervising producer is Katie Ferguson. Our development producer is Aisha El Muslim. Chris Sinsley is the deputy editor. Logging off, I'm your host, Belle Lin. We'll be back later this morning with TNB Tech Minute. Thanks for listening.